Hi everyone, I'm Paige Eichhorn, and today we're going to be talking with Erin Bishop, the Community Outreach Advocate for Cats Cupboard, and Sarah Hoyt, the Operations Lead. So I'm so excited to talk to both of you because you've been with Cats Cupboard for so long and just like led it so awesomely and just like been with it and stuck with it. So how has Cats Cupboard changed since it first opened?
You want me to take that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so Paige, I was hired in the summer of 2017 to get Cats Cupboard up and running. And so at the time, Cats Cupboard was called the FEED Initiative, so Fueling Educational Excellence Daily. And kind of decided that the best option on that was to let students vote on names. So that was kind of the first thing I did when I came on board. We had an advisory board at that time, but it was a non-elected advisory board. So it was just appointed by Dr. Bosco and other folks on campus. So we moved into the space that it's in now, that August and September of 2017, and worked on the naming process. Before that, the pantry started as some bookshelves in the Office of Student Life in Holton Hall by my first supervisor, Sarah Barrett. Sarah Barrett was a K-State graduate, was an assistant dean in student life, and kind of saw that need among students working with them daily. And so that bookshelf food pantry was managed solely by her and the staff there, and they were the ones filling it and stocking it, and then folks could go get food if they needed to. And then she worked for years on the process of getting students on board, Dr. Bosco, other administration and student life folks, to create a university food pantry. At that time, there was about 400 in the nation, and now there's well over 700. So kind of tells you where we were in that process. With that, she sought funding and space. Space is a difficult challenge on our campus. And so in that search for space, lots of spaces were explored, including a place I used to work at, which was UFM Community Learning Center. And I was working at that job, and we cleaned out the sunroom, big room, because the provost and other folks were coming to look at the food pantry, to have the food pantry. And I remember thinking how cool that we were going to have a food pantry on campus and how I'd love to be involved that day. And that was probably 2 years before I was hired on. So funding and space came together at the same time, and I think it was about early 2016. And funding for us at that time and still currently is student-centered tuition enhancement, also known as SCTE funding, that is given out through SGA through an application process annually. It's startup seed money for student services, essentially. And so that funding was achieved along with Fairchild 09, where we're at, was a former computer lab. That computer lab moved to Calvin Hall on the third floor at the same time that Arts and Sciences Dean's Office moved to Calvin when business built their new building. So all that shuffling around opened up that basement space in Fairchild. And then we just kind of began the process of setting up shelves and getting food. When we first opened, 2 to 3 to 5 students a day was a lot. It was me, a grad student, and then some undergraduates. Some of those undergraduates are now our student employees, so that's pretty cool. And we just kind of got things running, started marketing and advertising as best as we could. So the major changes I would say is that, we get donations here and there. Global Campus at first was our biggest donor. They were hosting food drives once a month for us to keep the shelves stocked. I remember at one point someone brought us like 5 flats of the little cans of tomato sauce, so like 100 cans of tomato sauce. And I remember thinking how we would never go through that. Like, I can't imagine, what are we going to do? These cans are going to go bad before we go through them. That was really naive of me to think, but at the time that's what it was like. And so a lot of our early efforts were put into awareness and then getting folks on board to be bought into the project and donate. In those early years, there was a lot of conversation with lots of different folks in the community, on campus, with student groups, about this, is this really a real need? Are students really struggling because if they can afford to go to college, they can afford to, you know, pay for all of their bills. And so kind of in that whole time, I saw, I've seen a change in the way that our nation and our community and our campus, our state views food insecurity among college students. And I think it's important to note that food insecurity is not necessarily being hungry. It could mean that you've got food, but you're eating the same thing, such as ramen, over and over again because that's what you can afford, that the nutrition quality is low, those kind of ideas. And so I've really seen a change in that conversation that doesn't come up as much as it used to, but it used to be a daily thing. Like, it was pretty tough. I think I answered that question every day for what felt like a year. And now, you know, we've got two full-time employees. We've got a graduate student. We've got 15 hours of undergraduate employee. We still have our awesome volunteers. We've got probably over 700 or 800 unique in-kind donors, folks that have given us actual product. And then not to mention all of the financial contributions. We had our big all-in for K-State Day last year that got us over $300,000. That helped us some funding. We've got some more funding from the bond. So financially, we're a lot more secure than we were at first, which was kind of a precariously funded program when we still have the money, which is most operation costs and salary. We can't use those SCTE funds to buy any kind of food. That's against state law. So really seeing some of those other donations come in that have allowed us to expand. On top of that, it took us a while, but last April, so a year ago, we finally became a Harvesters, which is a regional food bank entity, meaning we can order food from a regional food bank that gets things in large quantities in their warehouse and then can distribute them to smaller families. That was a really long time. So that started out with us trying to find, getting the state to approve the Harvesters contract and the Harvesters getting them to agree to the changes that the K-State lawyers wanted to make. That never really happened. No one could really come together on that after a couple of years. So started looking at what other food pantries in the nation on college campuses were doing. The University of Arkansas had used their foundation, first 501c3 with less restrictions. I use that as the nonprofit tax-exempt entity to get to be part of their regional food bank. So we used that model with the University of Arkansas to work with our K-State Foundation to get them to allow our 501. And so that's really expanded our options on the shelves. It's made it more stable in the type of products we offer rather than kind of running out and then going to buy more when we have the money. So I would say that our shelves a little more stable. Of course, there are times of high traffic and low donation, and sometimes those don't quite, you know, there's some times that the shelves are a little empty, but much better than it was in the beginning. And you know, now we're seeing, it's not odd during a regular semester when we're not in a pandemic to see 50 or 60 students on a Monday. And we've also received a Kansas Health Foundation grant last year that allowed us to expand our services to employees. That we've been able to maintain. And so this first couple of years, there was lots of employees on our campus needing to use the pantry that weren't able or qualified to use the pantry in our community, that we were having to essentially turn away. But if you've been to the pantry, there's a shelf at the top of the ramp that's like, these items must go. That was initially created and with the intention of helping our staff at least be able to grab something to eat without us seeing them. So if that's happening, then I don't know about it, right? But I'm still meeting a need, kind of a, just to circumvent the rules. What am I missing, Sarah?
I think that sounds great. I think that the growth in usage is the really key component. I haven't been with the pantry since the beginning. I was brought on after the all-in day raised more funds so that we could afford more staff, and which was really necessary because we the usage has skyrocketed. And you've seen those numbers, Paige. You know, like Erin said, we've seen almost 10,000 visits.
It's over 11,000, I think, isn't it? Maybe that's if we count employees.
If you count employees, it's 11,000 unique visits. And then by, I think, about 2,000 unique visitors. So about 2,000 people have visited about 11,000 times. And so growth is just skyrocketed. There was bigger need for more staff, and I came on in September of 2019. So I'm a fairly recent employee, And it's been an important thing because Erin now is leaving the food pantry, and I am so sad about it. And it's kind of a new chapter for us. Sarah Barrett, who was our supervisor, she has left K-State. And, you know, like Erin said, it kind of started as shelves in near her office. And and then Erin has built up and just done so much work to get it to where it is today. And she's going on to K-State Research and Extension and remaining engaged with food initiatives as the Double Up Bucks food promotions person for different farmers markets around the state of Kansas, so that people who receive SNAP benefits or food stamps can use their dollars at farmers markets. So Erin's still working for us 8 hours a week. And we have a new supervisor, Dr. Jean DeDonder, who is the, in phased retirement. She used to be the head of nursing at Lafine. Mm. And she's now our supervisor, and she's just a force of nature when it comes to getting things for us or saying, we're going to make this happen. So you're kind of catching it us at a strange time, not just because of the pandemic, but because the K-State Food Pantry is starting a new chapter with different people.
I'm a longtime graduate assistant that's been there for over 2 years. So the first semester I didn't have her, but after that she's been there the whole time she's graduating.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. But it's exciting. So, you know, like, new things are ahead. And it took us a long time to really, there was a long period of what I would call a silent no page. So it's like, oh, that's great, your food pantry, but no, I'm not worried about funding that, or I'm not worried about making that a priority, or this is just some kind of fringe project, or some virtue signaling, so it makes it look good, but we're not really that invested in it to once that growth happened. It hit the national news, and it was really a national story a year or two later, but really being taken more seriously. And so that's helpful too. All of those combined, you know, I think there's some security there that we didn't have the first few years.
Good. Well, I'm glad you do now, and it's clear that you've been so successful, and the amount of visits you've had is just insane and so awesome. So congratulations on like just thousands of students, and wow.
Thank you.
So what
I think it's something our campus community should be very proud of.
Yeah, for sure. What impact has Cat's Cupboard had on your life personally?
You want to start there?
Well, I'm new, so but you know, my career previously was in communications and fundraising for libraries and nonprofits. And then in 2014, I became a foster parent. And through that work, I became more acquainted with need in the community, basic needs, whether that's, you know, the existence of the emergency shelter and who goes there and what they need, or, you know, the different social service agencies that the kids who were with me for 2 years relied on. And so once I kind of had that education, I became more engaged in the community and started serving on a social services advisory board for the city of Manhattan, and learned even more about these agencies. And Sarah Barrett served on that same advisory board. So I got to meet her and know about the food pantry. And I was working at K-State Libraries, and we tried to do some promotion and support. And so it was something I was interested in. And when I saw this position open up, it just felt like my life of engagement with nonprofits and fundraising, and then the personal life and volunteerism in supporting social services came together in an interesting way. And it's been awesome for me personally, because I feel like I make a difference. You know, I mean, I always loved my work at the library, but I feel like now that I have a real purpose when I go to work. And seeing the students and hearing their stories is so motivating. You know, having someone come in who works in housing and dining and wants to have a talk about applying for, you know, food stamps, which is something that we support. Like, we will sit down with a student and help them apply for food stamps. And we provide other services in addition to just the food off the shelves. And then she, you know, got her stamps, you know, more than $100 a month. And
which is actually now a vision card, not actual stamps.
Yes, yes, it's the...
Just to be clear, we don't use the stamps anymore,
anymore because it has connotations with it. From
the fraud, which isn't true.
But she did get approved for the funds for groceries and brought me, like, banana bread from the her job at Housing and Dining and was, like, you know, just so, so moved. And, like, when you have a job like that, how can it not affect you personally? You know, it's good work, and I got to work with Erin, which has been a great experience to have a coworker who's so passionate about the field and so invested in her work, and now it feels more important than ever. So, yeah, and I'll let Erin speak to that.
Yeah. So Paige, I have worked in social services since I was right before I graduated college and then into my master's program. I started out in community mental health. I worked with adults with severe and persistent mental illness that were oftentimes on disability, living on $600 a month, so obviously eligible for SNAP. But on top of that, I spent a lot of time going with a lot of clients to food pantries. And I saw the good and I saw the bad. So I saw how you can treat people with respect and dignity, and I saw how you can marginalize someone into a little box of being in need, and then how that makes someone feel. And so, yeah, I saw the whole range of it, and I did that for 4 years. So I probably spent 5 to 10 hours every week of my 40-hour week for years helping people access food. So I was very opinionated when I came into this job about what I thought was right and what I thought was wrong. And so I knew that autonomy was important to me. Treating people with dignity and respect was important to me, and those things were priorities over everything else. So Sarah was on board too that, you know, we wanted a customer choice model, meaning that we wanted folks to be able to choose things that best meet their needs. Because if you already have green beans at home and you present to the pantry, and then I decide that your family of four, which right now we're doing a little bit of that because of the online order, but trying to give people some autonomy in that. But what you really need is peas or something to make a recipe, and then you get more green beans. How is that really treating people with respect or helping them to succeed? And so that part, combined with the fact that I had been an advisor and I love teaching, I teach on the side for my other, I usually always have a second side hustle, and it's usually teaching bills, that I really loved working with students. Part of the reason I really love working with students is that students have such great views, and they're so much more accepting of people than the people that are maybe in my generation above me that I see sometimes. And so that seems really refreshing because I more relate on the level of openness. And so this kind of combined the two. The other part is that I have been able to connect with student volunteers who are just the most amazing humans, and that just the way that it's changed me, I guess, is it's given me a lot of hope for the future. Because I know that the folks that are getting ready to take over things are going to, you know, leave the planet and leave their fellow mankind in a better position and kinder than when they left it. And then, of course, watching students that I have seen for the past 3 years come to the pantry for their food or for their hygiene or whatever that means, reach graduation, that is really exciting too, because I know that there's a lot of hurdles in life. I had hurdles when I was younger. I know there's people with lots and lots of hurdles above, you know, more than I could ever imagine or fathom. And seeing those barriers being overcome to reach a degree, to get out of that cycle of poverty or low socioeconomic status or financially struggling is really, it's a selfish kind of good feeling in a way too.
Yeah, for sure. That's really cool to hear about all the students you've met and just, like, their experience with Cats Cupboard. So what do you hope, like, the pantry will give to students and staff, like, and continue to give to them at K-State?
I would say that I know for a fact that while we're just one little piece in someone's basic needs being met, it's an important piece. And I know that we are meeting with students and helping students who are going to go on and become some assets in the world. And also that will bring that sense of compassion with them and what they go and do in the future. And so hopefully creating a generation that already exists, but folks that are, you know, thinking outside of the box, like when they donate to a food pantry, they're not just donating cans of green beans. They remember what it's like to have some diversity on the shelves. And so, like, what is it like to donate good cereal or granola bars or microwave meals? Because God forbid we let a child who's home alone have something they can stick in the microwave so they can have a meal without shaming them and forcing them to just have canned good kind of thing. So I think that that's one of my big hopes. And my other big hope is that I just, for retention, that we're seeing higher graduation rates, because it's a financial struggle right now for everybody, but for college students especially.
Yeah.
I hope that's it. That's
no,
my thing,
definitely. Yeah.
And I hope that, I just want students to know, and employees too, that they are valued and that there are people on campus who care about them and are cheering for them every day. And that, and if we can't meet the, you know, we'll meet the basic needs. And if there are additional things that we also want to be a resource and help people find the other things that they need on campus, that we're a place people can come to for, you know, with questions. And and if we can't give them what they need, then we will try to direct them to somewhere that can.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys.
Yeah.
This was so awesome, and just thank you for taking the time to answer my questions and reflect back on Cat's Cupboard. It's like amazing, and you should be really proud, really, really proud.
Thanks, Paige.
Yeah.
I hope you're staying healthy and safe at home right now.
I am. Yeah, I am.
Good. Thank you, Paige, for your interest and your support, being engaged with Cat's Cupboard.
Yeah, definitely.